Faster than a speeding ticket. Oh, wait, no. That's how I got the ticket.
You got a ticket?
I was there, and it got, the judge says to me, he says, you know, you've been brought here drinking. I said, great, let's get started. Speaking of get started, we're going to start up another edition of Political QRM. Lock and load, and with the way we're talking here, buckle up.
Okay. Hello, everybody. We're going to have to just jump right in today. Okay. I'm Anne Marie. That's Lou. So much has been happening. It's getting ridiculous. First thing I would...
And our names have not been changed to protect the innocent. Trust me.
That's true. Because we're not innocent. Are we?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. No. Let me just... 13 indictments for, here's the word, meddling. Okay. There's a lot that goes along with that one word, meddling. Okay. 13 indictments on people who cannot be brought back to the United States. They're not even in the country any longer. They're in Russia. We don't have an extradition treaty with them. Guess what? They're going to stay there. Mm. All right.
Tovarish.
Tovarish. Мои товарищи. No, they're not my comrades. But let me just say this.
Yeah.
These indictments are a bunch of baloney. On many
oh, wait
levels.
A minute. No. You know, we got to stress.
What?
Before we decide whether they're baloney or not, we have to stress the fact that the deputy AG said specifically no American citizens were knowingly involved and no evidence of any votes being altered are in that indictment. You know,
but,
and it bears reiteration, no
but,
American citizens willfully involved.
But I did just hear on the news where they said this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there is more to come. Now, what do they mean by more? I don't know. But
I still haven't seen the Democrat dossier or the FISA warrants yet either.
My guess is that they're going to try somehow, somewhere, to tie this in with Trump. Also, this is the whole thing that bothers me. One, they said, let's go through this very carefully. They said that this operation was up and running in 2014. Okay,
yeah.
2014, Donald Trump wasn't even thinking about running for president. The Obama administration was still in power. So my question is, why didn't they do something about it? And
with his cast of players.
Right. And if they already knew about it in 2014, why, when it was so horrendous to them that these people were putting out these different memes, that they didn't do anything about it? But there's a
you
lot...
You think maybe, just maybe, what the hell's her name, that sent herself the email on Inauguration Day? Susan Rice. Right? Remember, there was another shady email saying the president wants to do this by the book.
By the book.
And there were rumors that Obama was withholding intelligence info from the Trump team. Yeah. Maybe this is the intelligence info they were holding back.
Yeah, but what you know, I'm going to tell you right now, Lou, let's go through. Okay, let me back up. Because like I said, there's just so much in this. One, they're saying that these people meddled. They didn't say
meddled.
That they actually changed any votes. They meddled.
Nope.
Their idea of meddling, again, was to put all these memes and sayings out on the internet. Now, I am going to be honest. One of them, the 10/GOP, actually did follow me, and I followed them back. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything that they said that I agreed with, I agreed with. Do they really think, though, that I am not able to form my own opinions? Now,
well, according to Hillary, you're not.
Exactly, and the Democrats. Now, let me read some of the stuff that they put out. Vote Republican, vote Trump, and support the Second Amendment. Okay, What's wrong with that, Lou?
From my point of view?
Right.
Not a doggone thing.
Okay.
But then again, I am a Soviet bot. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I know. Well, so am I, right? You know, oh, man, they're going to really have to look into me. Now, we cannot trust Hillary to take care of our veterans. So what do you think?
I'm sorry, but I definitely agree with that.
There is overwhelming evidence that she can't stand the military. So
yep.
Why would she want to take care of the veterans anyway?
Well, that was, I mean, a lot of people called her being elected Obama V.3. You know, I mean.
That's exactly. Now, here's some of the memes that were out. Never Hillary. Hillary for prison. Hillary for prison 2016. Look at these. Trump 2016. Trump and Trump for president.
Well, here's the thing.
What's wrong with it?
The fact that those hashtags exist is almost, and this is the part that anybody that's been online for more than, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes should know. These hashtags get generated just because they use them doesn't mean they invented them or invented them for a purpose, boon or bane. Mm-hmm. The fact that the hashtag MAGA was among their things, I'm sorry, I've used it, you've used it, yep. Pretty much everybody I know that's, you know, a Trump voter, and even people who wouldn't have voted for Trump out of the gate once he was elected, said, okay, let's go make America great again. The fact that hashtag exists is not something that, you know, I would not follow some, oh my God, they use this hashtag. Oh, I can't follow them. Oh, you know, of course, if they said Hillary 2016, I wouldn't use that hashtag, that's for sure, except for prison.
That's right.
Some of this stuff is just so sketchy. I mean, you know, me, I don't care if they investigate me because the only Russian words I know are da and yet and tovarish.
That means,
you know,
that I'm in big trouble.
And Tchaikovsky, you know. So
Dostoevsky, Tolstoy. Yeah. Then I'm in big trouble. Yes, I am a Russian bot. No, get a load of this. I was following these two guys who said they were former Intel analysts, right? And then they had
somebody like that.
Well, wait a minute. They weren't. Let me just tell you what they did. All of a sudden, they come out and they say, "Well, you know, what were the two main memes that were going around recently?" And this is how quickly things change in this world because I can't even remember what they were. But they said,
"Release the memo."
Yeah, that's it. Release the memo. Thank you. If you have passed this meme on, you're probably a victim of a Russian bot. And it's like, I just don't follow them anymore because they were probably Democrats. Okay?
Well, yeah,
and to
I'm right.
think, though, to think that we're so stupid that we can't even make up our minds exactly what we stand for is just incredible as far as I am concerned. The thing is that this is their way of trying to control our free speech. They have this, they meddled in our election. No, they did not meddle in our election. Because if they meddled in our election, Hillary would be president.
Yeah, well, that's it. Debbie brought that up to me this morning. We were watching a couple of clips. By the way, I do have one that I do follow, one Democrat that I did.
Really?
Actually, we follow each other, but it's not like we talk or anything. I mean,
right.
You know, what are you going to do? But Debbie brought it to my. She said, if the Russians were trying to throw the election, first of all, why didn't they throw it to Bernie? Second of all, if you're going to throw an election and you don't want to throw it to the commie, whatever, socialist, whatever the hell he calls himself, commie, because he acts like a commissar. Who are you going to throw it to? Are you going to throw it to somebody who just might be really, really strong? Or are you going to throw it to somebody who's going to be Obama 3.0 and weak on defense and weak on law enforcement and weak on veterans and weak on all this stuff? Why would they throw it to Donald Trump?
Exactly. So as far as I am concerned, this is all made up. This is all made up by the Democrats. And what they're trying to do is instill fear, I think. and a distrust of our system in the American people. And I don't think it's going to work because people have had it. People have seen what Obama has done to this nation. They saw what Hillary Clinton did to this nation and the type of person she is. I don't think this is going to work. I think that now, granted, you have the GOP elite, the McCains, the Lindsey Grahams, and the rest of those bozos. Oh, and guess who's running for Senate? yeah, that's what we need, another milk toast.
I'm glad he's running for Senate. I am glad he's running
that
for Senate.
The Democrats
gets
probably
into the
gonna
Senate.
Win that seat.
Well, the thing is, that's unfortunate, but he's still got to go through a primary fight.
That's true.
The thing is, if he gets into the Senate, all right, well, that's another vote on the Dem side, like McCain,
that's
Collins,
right.
It means that he, because he's not, you know, all this time he's been doing this, that, and the other thing, he won't just quit being a senator to run for president.
I don't think he has a chance in hell anyway, because you know why? We've seen what a strong leader Trump is. He's a strong man.
And we saw him decimate Romney.
Yeah. Huh?
We saw him decimate. Even Obama decimated Romney in the debates.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the thing about all this investigation stuff to weaken, you talk about how it's going to weaken our belief in our system, and it doesn't weaken my belief in our system. Weakens my belief in a couple of the people left over from, you know, I hate the word deep state, but
I think you misunderstood me. I think that's what they are trying to do. They are trying to get the American people, because of all of a sudden their investigation has blown the lid off of meddling. Oh, God, I hate that word. That they're going to say, see how weak our system is? See? You know that this happened? We have to have people in there who won't allow that to happen. That's what I think it is. Look.
I think what they did was they released this to take the focus off of the immigration debate, to take the focus off the Democrat memo, to take the focus off the FISA warrants, to take the focus off this stuff. It's low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the low-hanging fruit is on the poisonous tree, it's going to do just what the last five things they tried and backfire right in their face.
Mm-hmm. So basically,
because if I woke up and I would walk in, if I were the president, which I'm not, but if I were,
God,
I'd have waited. Once they released this, not us, we'd be fine.
Oh, that's true. You know, we would be fine. We would.
There'd be a lot less turbines in the world.
Oh, heck yeah.
Louis, if I were the president and they released this indictment,
mm-hmm.
right, unsealed this indictment, I'd have walked into the other room. I would have said to Sarah Sanders, Sarah, just step over there for a second, honey. Would you please? Yeah, thank you. And I would stand behind that podium and say, this is it. This is it.
Yes.
This is what you got after all this. This is it. Mueller, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
In his typical Donald Trump, you're fired. Just like that. And you know what? Take all these commie rats, pinkos in the Justice Department, in the Bureau, and everywhere else over here in this deep state. Take them with you. You're all fired. You know, I would have done that. I really would have.
But, you know, for people who really don't know how America works, and there are many, quote-unquote, Americans who do not know how the American legal system and just our, you know, how America is supposed to work, they will be snookered by this. They will. They're out there right now throwing up their hands and going, oh, my God, the Russians are attacking us, when in reality it's not, okay? I don't care. Look, folks.
The Russians are coming.
Exactly. But let me just say this, folks. There are people in this country, not only the Russians, who constantly spy on us. Whether they do industrial spying to see what different companies are doing, military, our intel, you know, anything on our government. There are always people in this country that are always spying on us.
Yeah.
Let me just say,
and vice versa.
Wait a minute. The FBI and the intel agencies are supposed to be the agencies protecting this country from that. And they're doing a lousy job. They're not performing their mission the way they should. This is why we have this crap going on. FBI has to be cleaned out.
I think it does. Somebody put up a post on Twitter or what have you for it's somebody famous, but I don't remember who it was, said, you know, take everybody out of the building, take all the papers out of the building, and put all new people in.
Yes, I agree.
You know, just start over. Just, you know, control, alt, delete the entire FBI.
I think they
and
should.
I know bureau men. I do. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, I've got my my father's godson is a bureau man.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, maybe
and
we should
I,
get
I've
in touch
him,
with
but,
him and see what he thinks about it.
Well, I'm in touch with him every once in a while. You know, I mean, just because sometimes he's down to mom and dad's and stuff. You know, I know him to be, considering how long I've known him, I know him to be one of the absolutely most honest, most honorable, straight arrow, law and order, American way, you know, truth, justice, the American way, the whole Superman thing. I know him to be probably the most qualified to wear that title of the men I've ever met.
Okay.
Right? He's been with the Bureau for, I don't even know, probably since he got out of Marine Corps. You know, he's just that kind of honorable. Mm-hmm. Right? My own battle brother, mm-hmm. It was with the Bureau. He was with Protection on Secret Service and then moved over to the Bureau.
Right.
And, you know, retired out of there. And one of the most honorable men I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, period. So when it comes right to, I mean, you get to, you know, special agent and you know, things like that and field special agent in charge and stuff like that, you know, you're still, you know, I used to say about the military guys, every star they put on your shoulder makes you one less level of soldier and one more level of politician.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, by the time you find yourself working in the Hoover building,
mm-hmm.
you're that much less a cop and that much more a politician, a
yes.
bureaucrat kind of. But I think that, you know, the field agents, you're going to have a dirty one here and there. Come on. You got dirty cops. You got dirty doctors. You got dirty lawyers, all lawyers. You got 30 people in every profession, and you know, so you're going to get one here and there, and it's a shame because I'll tell you something. I had no truck for dirty cops, and I mentioned it here on the podcast.
Right.
I hold no truck with dirty cops. You know, at any level, federal, city, state,
mm-hmm.
constable. I mean,
yep.
I'm in my life for anybody like that, and I don't think that they're. I don't think that the Bureau is rife with them any more than, you know, the whole thing, you know, what was it, over the last couple of years with the Black Lives Matter and stuff where all cops are, you know, racist and wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go kill a black man today. You know, nobody believes that. Well, I guess there are people who do, but, you know, nobody believes that the Bureau is that absolutely rife with every bureau agent, you know, is a political hack and out to, you know, topple Donald Trump's presidency. I really don't. So I don't know how you feel about it. That's for me. You know, that's me. I never talk for anybody else unless they ask me to. But mm-hmm. that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note.
You don't think that to me, the FBI has gone too far, and that's because there were too many dirty people in there. You know, somebody has to give him the evidence. Somebody has to be working on the evidence in order for him to do these indictments. Who are those people? So I really think they have to get rid of a lot of the people in the FBI. I'm sorry. Let me put it to you this way, and I have always held this view. And I used to have horrible arguments with people when I was at NSA.
Hold on, hold on.
About
you locked
this.
Up for on and off. You locked up for quite some time. I just knocked my video out in case it's a bandwidth issue.
Oh, I'm fine. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you locked up pretty much right after you started your sentence, and I didn't hear you again until a moment ago. I just want to let you know.
Oops. Okay. But anyway, what I was saying is I used to have arguments with one or two people at the agency when I was at NSA. I said in order to work at any of the intelligence agencies, you have to have a certain mindset. And one of the mindsets you cannot have is to change this country from a capitalist republic. You can't. And somebody said to me, well, don't you want an opposite opinion? I said, you're confusing analysis of the information we glean to our basic mission. And our basic mission is to protect the United States of America. And that used to blow people's
minds. All enemies, foreign and domestic.
That's right. And they said, so if you have liberal progressive leanings, you should not be at NSA or CIA, DIA, or any of the other things, or FBI. And that especially has gone out of any of those agencies. All of them are having problems. And the FBI now, we're really seeing a problem here. Because when Obama came in, he installed more and more of his pals who believe in Big Brother, who believe in 1984, and, you know, every single basic tenet and belief that was in that book. That's not who we are. And now we're caught at a crossroads. We really are in this country, and we have to do something about the FBI. We have to do something about the intel communities, because they are no longer working to preserve our way of life, our Constitution. We have the wrong people in there. We have to change. We have to get rid of them. And the FBI is just the beginning.
You know,
let me just say, all of these indictments, everything here is very, very Marxist. It's very Marxist. Who cares if they're trying to meddle? They did not change it. Everybody tries to meddle. You mean meddling voter fraud Democrats that you do throughout the country?
I was going to say, what do you consider worse, you know, meddling with some hashtags on Twitter or illegal aliens voting? I mean, you know, at that point, what's the difference? You know, that's a foreign entity, you know, interfering with our electoral process.
That's right. They are.
In my opinion.
No.
You know, another name that's been thrown around a lot lately is Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
A lot of people started talking about McCarthy this, McCarthy that, McCarthy. You know, let me tell you something. I think that McCarthy had a good conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He really did want to protect truth, justice, and the American way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had a good point. I just wish to hell he would have shown that paper to people.
Yes.
All right. As far as, you know, talking about free speech and stuff like that, and what he wanted to say, and, you know, differing opinion, as you said, talking to somebody in an essay. he really, it wasn't his message. It was his method.
Yes.
I think was part of the problem. Because there are un-American people out there. There are commies and stuff running around out there. You know, the Red Menace is not a dream. It's not, you know, it's not a something out of I don't know, one of those guys that writes those spy books. It's not out of that. It's real. It was real then. It is real today and will continue to be real ad infinitum.
That's
true. You know, the Red Menace is real. And that's why you always people hear me all the time talking, and I still use the word Soviet.
Yes.
You know,
so
and I still use the word KGB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, the Russians. No, the Soviets. No, they're not the Soviets anyway. You're kidding yourself.
Yes.
You know, you're kidding yourself. And, you know, Putin's not a KGB man. No, come on. Listen to me. The only way out of the KGB is the same way as getting out of the mafia. All right?
6 feet under.
As a matter of fact, it might even be easier to get out of the mafia than it is out of the KGB. You know, so again, the message is good. It's the methodology. And when it comes to methodology, this is why I said I'm still waiting to see the Democrat memo. And I'm still, they're howling. Oh my God, they want to take all the important stuff. No, we want to take the means, methods, and names out of it. You dope.
Exactly. Yeah, but you see, they're just gonna.
You know.
Yeah.
I still want to see the FISA warrants.
Yes.
And that's where the problem lies. They bring out these shiny things. Because, I mean, face it, when it comes to ADHD, who's got it worse than the mass media?
That's true. Let me ask you a question, though. Seriously, I mean, when you looked at photographs and videos of Trump rallies and Hillary rallies, I mean, the rallies for Donald Trump were overwhelming. Do you really think people were that stupid to be moved by these hashtags or these messages to take off from work, many of them, to come out? I mean, do they really think that people are that stupid?
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. There was that big thing with that one reporter who took the picture of the empty auditorium, and it came out that he took that picture an hour before the doors opened or something. And then they did take pictures at Hillary, and they said, oh, well, you know, maybe this reporter – no, it's the same guy when he took – you know, or it's the same company, what have you. You know, Hillary rallies were not all that well attended. It's the same thing with when the NFL was on. They, you know, the cameras wouldn't show you the empty sections of stadium.
That's right.
You know, it's thought control. It's newspeak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's all it really is. It's newspeak. And I got news for you. When it comes to Donald Trump rallies – one of the things that one company in that indictment did was run a pro-Trump and an anti-Trump rally in the same town, New York City, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they were in the tank for Trump or not when they ran both.
I know.
At the same time. And, by the way, all these rallies they were supposed to have put up, you know, BLM rally and all this. The best attended one was the anti-Trump rally in New York City. 45 people showed up.
Really?
That was the best. I got that right out of Washington something. I don't know if the Times, the Examiner, the Post, but it was out of Washington. And 45, the best attended rally of all the ones that these companies put together was 45 people at the anti-Trump rally in New York City. Some of them had two or three people. Some of them had none. So you talk about, do we believe this enough to change our minds? I hardly think so. I hardly think so.
Yeah. No, I just don't. It makes me laugh. You know, this is good for their side in a way because people can go, look what they found. You know, we trust the FBI, but real Americans don't. Real Americans don't because they dropped the ball on many things, and that's including the killings down in Florida.
Holy cow, did they drop that ball?
Yes.
Holy cow, did they drop that ball?
17 students.
I found myself incredulous at that. I really did. You know, when it comes down to the fact. 17 kids are dead. However many other people, I guess there were 30 injuries and 17 deaths. And I found out that the local police had been to that kid's house 39 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the one guy reported this kid for what he wrote on a YouTube channel, that was one thing. But turn around and find out that four other instances of the Bureau being notified about this kid. When that special agent in charge yesterday was reading off the thing saying, well, you know, they have a book that they use, Operation Guide, right? And they try and do things, you know, within those parameters. Well, you know, it didn't fit. We did an initial appraisal and couldn't justify, you know, any more, you know, man hours and, you know, resources. But it was four times.
But yet they found the man hours to go do this stupid investigation about Trump, right? A false
for 15 months. Yeah.
Collusion.
Yeah. And it's something because, you know, when you look at it, I mean, look, everybody's budget. You know, I mean, I've got a budget. you know, you've got a budget. You know, the nation has a budget, and every bureau underneath that has a budget. So they're going to spend however many million dollars a year they get. Yeah, but if you're spending it all on this fake collusion thing,
right.
To the point where field offices have chairs with wheels that fall off, you know.
Well, the thing is that they're spending all this money on this collusion thing. The wrong people are in charge. Because their mission is not to protect the American people any longer in their minds. Their mission is to bring down this president and all who support him. That's what their mission is.
This is why I said, that's what I said. If I were the president, I'd have walked in and you know.
Exactly.
You know, given Sarah Sanders a little nudge, thank you, but I got this. And, you know, literally, you know, so only a guy from New York City could do, stand there and go, this is what you got?
I love Donald
Trump. This is all you got?
So, yes.
Tell me what store you go to buy the chutzpah that you've got to spend all these millions of dollars. This is what the American people get for their money? You're fired.
True. Yes. Yeah, why is now, I think Americans have to ask, why is our money being used in this when they have actually came out and said no American citizens were involved in this? So, you know, last I looked, Trump is an American citizen. So if they try and indict him, they're just lying.
Well, even if
you know,
look, and I said, I
was wondering, though, you think maybe it's time for a new Sons of Liberty?
You mean a new Sons of Liberty?
Well, the Sons of Liberty.
You know how many chapters?
No.
You know
no,
how many
I'm
chapters
of
Sons
about,
of Liberty?
I'm not talking about bike groups. I am talking about
no.
The original Sons of Liberty.
You know how
Liberty.
Many chapters? Yes. You know how many chapters exist in this country of the Sons of Liberty?
I did. No, seriously? Okay, here I am totally ignorant on this. Okay, go ahead.
And not only under that, there's at least one in every single state.
Well, then.
Some of them have multiple chapters
well,
of the
maybe,
Sons of Liberty.
Well, maybe they should become more evident now.
For some of us, they are.
Look, folks, this is what's going to have to happen. First thing you have to do is the GOP elites have to step aside on this. Don't open your mouths because you're only going to get out there and support this FBI false indictment. It's false. I'm sorry. They're grasping at straws because if they knew that these people were doing something about the election, why didn't they go and arrest them earlier? Why didn't they put a stop to it?
Especially well over a year before the president declared his candidacy.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's not just that they, you know, all about President Trump. It's about the fact that this took place under Lynch's watch, under Obama's watch. You know, I mean, all of these things under you know, the DOJ under the FBI and all this other stuff that it was taking place under well over a year before the president announced his candidacy.
That's right.
You know, it's just absolutely flabbergasting. You know, if I were to land here from Mars, you know, over in where did they land? Kearney or something, you know, back in 32.
Wait. What are you talking about? War of the Worlds?
The War of the Worlds.
No, yeah. War of the Worlds. It was Grover's Corners, New Jersey.
Oh, that's right. It was down South Jersey. Okay.
South Jersey.
But I remember that they were theoretically coming up the Passaic River at one point. The Hackensack River. I'm not sure which, but it's been a long time since I read it and even longer since I've heard it.
Actually,
I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
You mean, look, if I were to land here in one of them spaceships and get out, whether it's that or Klaatu or whatever, and get out of the spaceship and walk over to a newsstand and pick up a newspaper and look at it, I'd be like, hey, everybody, get back in the ship. No, we don't want these people. Get back in the ship. You know, get back in the ship. We'll go find something somewhere else. You know, it's like. But there was an old T-shirt years ago, beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so, again, but Hillary is the one who said that if you're a woman and you voted for President Trump, You know, it's only because your husband told you to. So, no, you can't make up your own mind. This from a feminist, right? The champion of women. You know, you're not smart enough to make up your own mind, so you do what your husband tells you. Why do you go? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. My wife is smart enough to figure out who the hell she wants to vote for.
Yep.
Of course, she had voted for Hillary.
It's a guilt thing. It's a guilt thing.
You know.
Yeah. But, it's trying to get women to feel guilty. Oh, my God. I have to, I have to back the sisterhood. No, not happening.
The other thing, though, is, as I said, you know, first of all, Debbie would know who to vote for herself, whether I agreed with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes right down to what the Bureau was up to, I think back to the fact that after the police had been to this kid's home 39 times, mm-hmm. his mother was afraid of him. He had pictures on his all his social media accounts are gone, but as you know, the internet is forever.
That's right.
You know, there were pictures that people had screenshots of instantly about finding this out.
Mm-hmm.
What he did to hamsters and lizards and
hear,
you know,
please, don't please.
Well, no, but I'm saying is the profile. That's right out of the FBI profile. If somebody is abusive to animals and you know, other kids in school and all this other stuff, this kid fit, you know, you don't need Mandy Patinkin and Joe Mantegna to figure this one out, folks.
You know, the thing that really gets me is that they knew. The kids came out and said, we knew it was going to be him.
We knew.
We knew.
We expected it, they said. They said,
yes.
We expected it. I can't.
And you know what the problem is? The real problem is, Lo, everybody is out there screaming about the guns. And did you see that CNN clip with that the mother of one of the victims, and she's screaming at Trump, it's your fault and everything, and you have to do something? Well, where were they when Newtown occurred under Obama? And
right.
About
or
those
Sandy
terror
Hook.
Attacks. You know, San
mm-hmm.
Bernardino.
The Pulse nightclub and
yes.
San Bernardino. And, you know, all these things. And
nobody
and,
blamed Obama. Have you noticed that? They all blamed the gun.
And
the
truck. Yeah,
yes.
The truck attack. Did they blame the truck? No, they did not.
No. Nope.
You know, so, you know, they can talk out of both sides of their mouth all they want.
And they're doing
but that
it.
Doesn't make it, you know.
And, you know,
and that poor Coach Feist,
oh,
right?
Oh, jeez. May he rest in peace.
Right, the guy standing there in front of these kids put his life on the line for them and eventually ended up losing it.
Jeez.
By the way, who had a part-time job as a security guard carrying a gun.
Yeah, but he couldn't have it at
perfectly
the...
Perfectly legal for him to have had a gun, but yeah. He had his gun on him all the time except when he was on school grounds.
Yeah, isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible?
You know, and we say it all the time. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And here's a good guy that could have had a gun. Well, would he have gotten there in time? He got there in time to take the bullet for the kids standing behind him.
Exactly.
And, you know, all the old adages, all the old hashtags, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. Even the sheriff in that county said, the average response time is plus 5 minutes, and the average mass shooting is over in 2 to 5 minutes.
That's true.
He's got a push going, and I don't remember what he called it, what the acronym turns out to, but it's a program where they take teachers,
mm-hmm.
coaches, janitors, etc., and if they're of good character and they've got prior law enforcement or military experience, they put them through a training course, and he deputizes them.
Yeah, they should be allowed to carry guns. But you know what, Luke?
As a special deputy, ergo, because they're a law enforcement officer, they're allowed mm-hmm. to carry their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the training we put them through far and away exceeds what an ordinary police officer would go through.
Wow.
And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the best.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best.
Well, something has to be done. Something. I mean,
yeah,
know, they're sitting ducks.
Has to be, and taking away – I put up an essay, by the way, a couple hours ago. I don't know if you're ready.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, something has to be done. But taking away my gun isn't it. You know, why is it that every time something like this happens, the first thing they want to do is take the guns away from the people who didn't do it?
That's right. You know, the thing is, I was on my Twitter account, and one of the people I follow took a picture of their gun, and they put on the caption, they said, well, I've been watching this for the past hour and a half, and it hasn't done anything.
Yep.
It's just sitting here.
Yep. I can't. And then you get these people saying, these machines of war don't need to be in the hands of civilians.
You know, I follow a lot of blogs for decorating, okay? And all these and boy, now they're all getting political, and they're like, oh my God, this is just so horrible. And you have all these women on there going, oh yes, we need to do something about these horrible guns. Then there were two people who wrote these long things and said, listen, it's not the gun. It's our society's attitude toward the mentally unbalanced that needs to change.
No, that's right. And that's a big part of my essay. But I used to have a T-shirt. I don't have it anymore.
Okay, then I won't write one.
It had a
no, seriously.
Had a silhouette.
Remember in the 50s and 60s, it was a lot safer because they took these people off the streets. They did.
Yes.
And they did put them in facilities. But now, wait a minute. What happened late 60s, early 70s? All of a sudden, all the liberals started getting into our judicial system. And then it was determined, and these psychologists too, and psychiatrists, where they said, no, these people with mental illnesses, they should be among society because it is good for them. No, it's not good for them, and it's not good for us. It makes us
It's beneath their dignity
ducks.
Yes. to be in an institution, but it's not beneath their dignity to sleep on a subway grate.
I know.
And
it's and
you know it's crazy nuts cuckoo. That's all there is to it.
It is. They have to come back. Insane asylums have to come back. This kid should have been in an insane asylum. He should have been
orphanages
heavily drugged.
Orphanages have to come back.
And huh?
Orphanages should come back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Too
because you find out about these people that are getting abused and they got mistreated in the foster care system and all this other crap. Bring back orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back mental institutions. But, you know, you can't – look, and I'm telling you, I have people – not so much people I know, but people that I see on occasion. Well, no, actually, I don't because I'm in Pennsylvania. But when I was in Maine, I saw them on occasion that – you could see them. They're in their, you know, they're all worn out down to the insole, army boots on. Mm-hmm. Their old field jacket on, mm-hmm. you know, and they're covered in newspaper.
Yeah.
Sleeping against the side of a building in Portland, Maine.
That's horrible.
You know, I'm sorry, but Portland, Maine does not stay balmy all year long.
That's right.
It gets darn cool in Portland, Maine. And these people are freezing to death. And it's not just my brother and sister veterans. I'm, you know, not to say I'm heartless towards the average civilian, but, you know, the fact that it takes place at all in the United States of America, the greatest nation on the face of the planet, greatest nation the face of the planet has ever seen. And it's even worse that it happens to the people who went out and wrote a check to the people of America for any amount up to and including their life, and this is what happens. You know,
yes.
It's just too much to fathom, and it's the same. Like I wrote an article the other day; it's in there as well about these boxes that the president wants to send out instead of snap cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's you know the American people. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, Benjamin Franklin said. The best way to lift people out of poverty is to make them uncomfortable being poor.
Yes.
Okay. I'm all right with that. But what is more beneath their dignity? Having them use a card discreetly to buy food? Or sending a box in the mail saying USDA food? You know, don't get me wrong. Government peanut butter is the best peanut butter I ever ate.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, all of a sudden you get these people, the liberals out there saying, oh, it's beneath their dignity. What? Seriously, they say it's beneath their dignity.
Which is more beneath their dignity, a discreet card? But look, everybody complains about the fact that they go out and they buy lobster and caviar and I mean, maybe not lobster and caviar, but, you know, potato chips, pretzels,
yep.
Pepsi, Coke, you know, all this stuff. And then they use the food stamps and they go out and get into their Escalade while they're wearing, you know, that's a right. fur and carrying a $1,000 phone.
That's right.
All right, look, I think we could save the American people an awful lot more money by changing that kind of stuff. Why are you worried about the poor veteran down the street that, you know, he's trying to feed his family, he lost his job, and he can't get another because he's, you know, he's got a handicap of some sort, whether it's PTSD or something else.
Right.
What are you going to do? The poor woman who, you know, is sitting there. Does anybody – this is something people may or may not be aware of. Did you know that the families of people in the military from E1 to about E5, there is a huge, vast number of those families that are on food stamps?
Yes, I do know that. It was during my time also when I was involved with, you know, when Barry and I first married and everything. Yeah, it's disgusting. It is disgusting.
When I was in, Fort Benning,
that's
you know, for Ranger training before I went over to Vietnam. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. We're talking the '60s here.
Yep.
And these people.
And it didn't change in
the '80s,
honey. Not that
well, much. I was out of the Army, but how do you figure, you know, how do you figure you get people say, oh, I support our troops. Do you really? You're tying up these defense spending things. At the same time, you're saying, oh, I support our troops. And, you know, some guy who's in the Army and he's, you know, he's a Spec 4 or a corporal or, you know, a private first class or something. And he's got a couple of kids and a nice little wife. And they, you know, of course, there's housing allotment because they have to be able to live somewhere. And if they can't, you know, get accommodation on post, they have to live off post. So there's a housing allotment.
That's right.
And then there's a food allotment and that kind of stuff. But if it's not enough, what? What do you mean it's not enough?
It's not.
What the hell are you talking about? It's not enough that we have to give them food stamps.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You want to support your troops? Call your congressman and say, hey, get off the pot with this, you know, defense spending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm ranting again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're ranting, but let's just get back to the mental health problem. The psychiatrists, psychologists, and all these liberal people, these are the same people who are now pushing NAMBLA, the North American MAMBLA, that, you know, pedophilia, in which they're trying to say that it's a normal. It's normal. Yeah, okay. But these are the same people.
Yeah. It's normal. It's normal for people to find out. It's normal for people to find out and break every bone in your body. That's what's normal.
Exactly. But, you know, this is why we have so many people, because they look at this kid. And looked at other kids, like about that guy in Newtown. What about the guy who shot the congressman down in, what was it, Arizona? Or was it New Mexico? I can't remember. But
oh, yeah, Gabby Giffords.
Gabby Giffords.
Oh, did you ever see that guy's mugshot? Oh, yeah, he was a real.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would have expected anything like that out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a raving lunatic.
Yes, he did. But the thing is, it's like they just decide that these people, if you put them in some sort of hospital, some institution, you're taking away their civil rights. That's one of the first things they do, they say. But if you look at
Civil rights specifically are you taking away from them?
But it's okay for these people to go out there and kill all these people. You know, they've taken their lives away from these people. And that's all right for the liberals. Because you know what? Because to them, they can use this in order to change the Second Amendment. I actually saw a response that said, well, don't you think it's about time we got rid of the Second Amendment, you know, and we got rid of guns? And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Here's my thing. Try it. Just give it a shot. Go ahead and try. You know what? You got a neighbor somewhere in your town who's got a gun. Go over and demand it from him. He's going to give it to you, lead first.
It's just like, you know, it's just like people are actually saying, and some of them are young, saying, we really should take away the Second Amendment. What world do you people live in? Obviously, it's in a bubble, or you just don't use your mind, or you haven't received a proper education.
I went to high school with a retired teacher in California.
Yeah.
And trying to tell me all of it, and I don't want to tear up your Second Amendment, I don't want to take away your gun, but there's no reason why these weapons of war, you know, and I'm like, you know, so I quick cut and paste a couple of pictures of a musket from the Revolution, mm-hmm. and I took a picture of a Grand Rifle, an M1, mm-hmm. and I took a picture of a Mosin Nagant M9130.
Okay.
And I put them up there. And some of those weapons I have actually held in my hand recently. So I said, you know, this weapon assaulted Crown troops. Get this. In Trenton, New Jersey. I said, and then this weapon assaulted various and sundry invaders, as well as Tsarist Russia. That's the Mosin Nagant M9130. The 91 part of that stands for 1891, and it was actually invented several years earlier, but it was taken into Russian service, military service, in 1891. Mm-hmm. And so this is the rifle that overthrew Tsarist Russia in 1917. And then this one, the Grand Rifle,
okay,
assaulted the Nazis at Normandy, and it assaulted the Japanese at Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima. I said, what on earth are you talking about, weapons of war? You know, every weapon in even my hunting rifle at one time was considered a weapon of war. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, the fact that these things, you know, you pull the trigger and so many bullets come out. No, you pull the trigger and one comes out. Mm-hmm. Just how it is. You know, as a matter of fact, I said, you know, the first one, you pull the trigger and you take 30 seconds to reload the damn thing. Mm-hmm. I used to have a T-shirt. I started to say earlier. I used to have a T-shirt that had a silhouette of an M16 on it.
Okay.
And you know, the headline, the caption of the T-shirt was, "It's because I'm black, isn't it?"
Oh, jeez.
Then one of my buddies is an NRA instructor up to Maine, and he put up a graphic that showed a Ruger Mini 14. And an AR-15. And it had the specifications. Everything is exactly the same, including the rate of fire, including the caliber, including the barrel length, including the twist of the... Well, no, the twist of the barrel is a little bit gentler in the Mini 14 because it's a better idea. Mm-hmm. Everything about them is the same, except one comes in a pretty oak or hickory or ash stock, and the other one's black plastic. Mm-hmm. So the one is, oh, sporting rifle, that's okay. You know, and then the bottom one is the AR-15, and it says, oh, no, scary-looking military. Oh, my God, weapon of war. Let's ban that. But it's the same thing.
Yep. See, it's how do you deal with such ignorance? Because I'm starting to get really impatient with these people. It's very, very difficult to sit there and say, let me explain to you, because they're just so emotional. You know, it's not the gun.
Well, I saw a thing from a girl I dated in junior high school, actually. Mm-hmm. And she said something similar, not the same, but similar. And I said to her, I said, Patty, I said, here, let me explain this for you. You know, and I did. I sat down. She's, you know, these machine guns. I said, no. Machine guns have been against the law for the general public to buy for many years.
Right.
I said, second of all, if you want one, you've got to go through an intensive background check. You're going to pay anywhere between $700 and $2,500 in fees to get a tax stamp to purchase one.
Uh-huh.
And on top of that, if I wanted an M16 and I had all that behind me, which takes years,
uh-huh.
an M16 in full auto version, a GI style M16, they start in crappy condition at $9,000.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea they were that expensive.
I saw an ad on one of the places where I've been on the free. Mm-hmm. And they were advertising a good old-fashioned, and trust me, I've used it in the past, good old-fashioned M60 machine gun that fires 7.62 NATO ammunition.
Okay.
Right? It was hung in the doors of Huey copters. It was on the ground. You know, we had squad. Every squad had one. You know, they don't use them anymore. They changed everything down to 223. Okay, fine. This one was used in Vietnam. It's been rebuilt a couple of dozen times. $23,500.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's insane and, too. So yeah,
and
okay.
Considering the
you're
fact,
not find that,
considering
know.
The fact that it spits out 800 rounds a minute, and each round is a buck.
Oh man. Oh jeez, Louise.
A day at the range is several thousand dollars.
Jeez. Oh my gosh.
Well, she thanked me for explaining it to her. Mm-hmm. But this is it. I actually saw a post. I put it up on Twitter. I could not believe it. There's a woman out there who's, you know, a member of Every Town and a member of Moms Against and all these other things, right? Mm-hmm. And she put up a picture of an AK-47. Mm-hmm. And she said, we have got to take these. Do you know what AK-47 stands for? Now, I know you do because you speak Russian. Mm-hmm. But she said it stands for Automatic Killer 47 rounds per pull of the trigger. And there's no reason for anyone to have this. You're right, because that's not what it actually means. So if that's what that one says on the side, I don't want it. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
But people believe this.
Soccer moms.
People believe this.
Automatic killer.
I have a musket. I have a Mosin. You know, I have a lot of things. But I'm saying those two in particular, I have them. If you want to talk about weapons of war that should not be in civilian hands, well, you know what? ATF, I'm guilty as charged. Mm-hmm. Two counts. Mm-hmm. But anyway, two counts. So, you know, might as well come, put the chains on, you know.
Yep.
But
there comes
where
a
do
knock
you
on your door.
Yep, any minute now. Well, you know, not for nothing, but I have enough confidence in the FBI that if they showed up at my door and said, ooh, we got to talk, I'd be, all right, come on in. You want coffee? You know?
Collision of coffee. Oh, my gosh. Repeat that. Wait a minute. I'm still stunned.
AK-47 stands for Automatic Killer 47 rounds every time you pull the trigger.
Oh my God. Automatic killer. You know what it really means, folks? It means Avtomat Kalashnikova. Okay? It's a Kalashnikov automatic rifle. That's what it is. The inventor of it was Mikhail Kalashnikov.
But for the record, AR, as in AR-15, yeah, does not stand for assault rifle. It does not stand for – it stands for Armalite Rifle,
yeah,
which is the company that produced the original prototypes for the Department of Defense.
Oh, God.
Armalite Rifle Model 4, Model 15.
This is the problem, Lou. This is part of the problem. This is part of the problem.
Well, wasn't it Mark Twain? Wasn't it Mark Twain who said it's not what you don't know that's bad, it's what you know that ain't so.
That's a good point, yes. Do you know that when I was in – I grew up with a one of my closest friends, when we were little kids, her father was a New York Port Authority transit cop. And he had his gun, and we knew never ever to go near that one closet, okay? We were taught. There was never any question in our minds that we would do that. I also went to school with the police chief's son. He never ever had anything. It's just. You know how many people I knew that you know, respected guns? And now all of a sudden you have these people that just... You know what it is, too? Another thing, video games. the more.
Well, I'll get to that in a second because it is in my essay.
Well, the thing is that.
But here's the thing.
What?
I've been around guns. I got my first hunting permit in 1966. Before that, as a juvenile, but you know, I got my first juvenile. As a matter of fact, I got my first juvenile hunting license in the state of New Jersey at 10 years old. I also have hunted for a long time. I've also been a police officer. I've been a soldier. I've been an armed guard, you know, working security at, you know, different events and mm-hmm. concerts and things like that. I have never drawn my weapon for any anger or insult or whatever. You know, as a matter of fact, the only emotional response to which I have ever drawn my weapon is somebody shooting at me because that annoys the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah, I think that would have a, yeah.
Other than that, I have never drawn my weapon.
You know, somebody shooting at you, yeah, that I think that would do it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it did. Every time somebody shot at me, I really got annoyed. I'm like, no.
I would get annoyed also, yes, damn it. Ooh.
Ain't nobody got time for that, you know.
No. Yeah, that would set me over the end.
But I can't think of, yeah. And if you read the essay, you'll see it. The only thing is, you talk about the video games. You're absolutely right. You know,
they desensitize.
Back in the day, every generation, the generation in front of them, you know, thinks that their music is, oh, it's terrible, it's horrible, it's going to cause, you know, promiscuity and grow hair on our hands and bring us peace without honor. You know, I mean, everybody thinks that. Every generation has that from the generation following behind.
Right.
And, you know, then we
but
get
this,
into the 50s
this time it's
and
true, Lou.
You know, TV is going to rot our drink.
Lou?
But now it's true. You're
now
absolutely right.
Now it is true. It is true.
It is true.
Unfortunately, this country's culture has been dominated by Hollywood in the past, what, 20 years? 25?
Oh, yeah, at least. Oh, no, it's been dominated by Hollywood for a long time. It just hasn't been so weird, until the last couple of decades.
No. There was a. See, anybody who wants to be a decent couple with kids and do things, you know, normally and live a quiet life, all of a sudden they're the freaks. They're the freaks in your country.
Pick a
they're
fence,
the freaks.
You know?
And these other people are the ones that are normal now. And if you don't act the way they do, then you're out of it and you're not hip. I hate that word. There's no such thing as a hip person. There's a thing like hippie person, anyway, or wide-hipped person.
Yeah, or hipster person now. We've got hipsters.
It's so stupid. But anyway, part of it is the infiltration of all these video games. You see these kids that constantly play these games. They're also violent. Yes, it does desensitize them. It really does, number one. Number two, I used to know a kid. He wanted to join the Air Force. He wanted to learn how to fly and everything because he used to play this video game in which he flew. I said, yeah. I said, however, after you crashed, you always got a second chance. Do you understand that you don't get a second chance? And he just stopped. And it never, ever occurred to him that he couldn't press the reset button. So,
well, did he go in the Air Force and learn to fly or not?
No.
Oh, what a shame. Look, I talk about this sometimes to people, and they don't believe me. But I'm going to tell you, just don't tell nobody else, right?
Nope. It's safe with me.
When I was in the military, mm-hmm. I saw things people shouldn't see.
I know.
And I got to tell you, I'm serious as a heart attack right now. All right, I got to tell you. The things I saw are the things I see in these video games today. And it's not saying, that Led Zeppelin's going to make you hang yourself or Black Sabbath is going to make you go out and, bite the heads off bats or pigeons. All right. But the desensitization factor has got to be real. Mm-hmm. It's got to be real. Kids learn what they live. And people have been saying that forever. If you bring your kids up in a racist home, or if you bring your kids up in a hateful home, or a violent home, or whatever, you're going to that's what the kid's going to learn.
That's right.
And if the kid is unmonitored, if the kid is unmonitored online and unmonitored in their video game and unmonitored, you know, look, music, you know, like I said, you know, music of today is crap anyhow.
It is
so
crap.
But, you know,
because,
the idea
it also talks violence. It speaks of violence.
Yes.
About shooting.
Misogyny.
Killing. Misogyny.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Drug use.
It is. It is. I mean, you know, come on. sorry, you know. To them,
well, this is why I said on Twitter. This is why I said on Twitter. If you're a celebrity, mm-hmm. and you have made a movie or a cartoon or a TV show or a voiceover in a video game and any of this stuff, which uses gun violence to make the daily bread appear on your table, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. You have no business, no right, no obligation, no nothing to talk about gun control.
That's right.
You know, these people, they make these movies, you know, and I think the last one that was like banged all over Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, was Brad Pitt. You cannot, and Johnny Depp, you mm-hmm. cannot make your living in shoot 'em up movies and then say, oh, well, you shouldn't have guns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I just don't.
Definitely. I agree.
Nope.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
I've never drawn my weapon in anger except when I've been angry at somebody for shooting at me first.
So that's the problem. That's the problem that we have allowed Hollywood to do a lot of the to take charge of our lives. And
well, I'm not even sure I can blame them. I'm not even sure I can blame them. Look at it this way. All these celebrities, you know, John Wayne was one thing because John Wayne never went to college. Mm-hmm. And when he did finally go to college, he went because he played football.
Mm-hmm.
You get these guys out there and they've been brought up in this liberal, progressive, you know, quasi-socialist, communist culture in mm-hmm. academia. You know, you take these kids that are out there and they're making these movies and they're making these ads for Mothers Against or Everytown or whatever Bloomberg/Soros outfit, and they went to college, and they went during the time when all these absolutely out there, over the top, liberal progressive professors have been in power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the title of my latest essay is that I'm not 19, thank the gods.
Yes.
Because I couldn't do it. I could not. I mean, this thing where they're they're actively trying to undermine free speech on college campuses, and then they're telling us we don't need guns. These people have never read a real history book.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I read a real history book. Listen, let me tell you something. If you're reading, you know, this, you know, let's just say History of the 13 Original Colonies, volume or edition of, you know, 2018, do me a favor. Go back and get one from when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Same book, same authors, before it was revised. And get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at political history over the course of... Go read up on what a Nazi actually is.
That's right.
Go read up on what a fascist actually is.
They're so free with that word in talking about Trump.
Ayn Rand.
Talking about people like you and me. But they don't actually understand.
Yes, Ayn Rand said the distinctions between socialism and communism are thus. Socialism changes by vote. Communism changes by force.
Yes.
It really boils down to a question of whether suicide or murder.
Yep.
I know I paraphrased that a little bit. But they don't get it. They just, to this day, Ayn Rand's been dead for how long?
Oh,
50
gosh.
Years?
No, 30.
30. All right, 30.
No, maybe. I don't know. I'll be honest. I think she died in the 80s. I can't remember, 80s or 90s.
Did she? I thought she died in like the 50s.
Oh, God, no. No. She was
60s.
She was doing interviews with Phil Donahue. And
you know what? You're right.
I saw an interview of her on the Phil Donahue show, and I was so What can I say? I was astounded and I was annoyed that Phil Donahue actually treated her like some sort of idiot.
Where he did.
It should have been the other way around. I mean, you know, and she kept cool and she was, you know, tried to get her point across. And he's just like looking at her like she's this doddering old lady who doesn't know any better. And it's like,
I had a decent relationship with that program for years. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I knew he was a lib, mm-hmm. you know, but I thought his wife was cute. So I forgave a lot. And in memory of Danny, you know, Elihan Shalom.
Yes.
But you know, look, everybody, look, she used to be on with Bill Buckley. Mm-hmm. And she used to be on with David Susskind. Mm-hmm. You know, and things like that. And I got to tell you something. If there's anyone who shaped some of my political views more so than anyone else, it had to be Ayn Rand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, definitely for me. Definitely for me. I read We the Living when I was like 11. Seriously, I did. And
I read Atlas Shrugged at 11 or 12, yeah.
She's the one that actually opened my eyes to Soviet Russia, Soviet communism. And that's where I have to give her credit. She's the one that opened my eyes to this and really sparked an interest in me. And that's why I went on to major in Russian language literature and Soviet studies. And I used to try and get my hands on everything I can read on Soviet communism and everything. So I was one of these people that when I went to NSA to work, I was there for the precise mission of getting rid of communism. You know, I mean, Ayn Rand knew. She knew exactly. I mean, she lived it. She grew up in the revolution and everything, and she experienced. Matter of fact, We the Living is somewhat semi-autobiographical for her because she put in a lot of her experiences that she went through.
Well, she didn't say that, though.
Huh?
I mean, she didn't say that it was, you know, autobiographical in any way, shape, manner, or form.
She put a lot of the stuff in there. It was semi-autobiographical, though, you know.
One of these days, we're going to have to discuss the Gulag Archipelago.
I have not read that in a while, so I'm going to have to reread that.
Well, I'm going to tell you why we're going to have to discuss that one.
Why?
Because I got about a third of the way through the book and realized I had absolutely no clue what was going on.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Then I'll have to read it again. Because, well, okay.
I don't even have a copy of it anymore. I'm going to have to go down to the library. But, I mean, I remember trying to read it and getting it. I mean, it's only about 14,000 pages long, you know, so it's easy read. You know, it's just like weekend light reading stuff, you know, on the beach, you know. But I realized I got about a third of the way through, which really a third of the way through was probably a couple hundred pages. Mm-hmm. And I realized I had absolutely no idea what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, so consequently, being the DJ that I am, I prefer to stick with, you know, Tchaikovsky.
That was written by Solzhenitsyn.
I know that.
Okay.
I know that.
Just because we were going from Ayn Rand,
I prefer to stick with
Solzhenitsyn, and we didn't make the distinction.
Well, but that's it, though. Well, no, I just wanted you to explain that to me. I didn't. I realized there's a difference.
Okay.
You know, because like I said, I got through a third of the way through the book and realized I had no idea what was going on. So I stick with music. I stick with Prokofiev and I stick with, you know, Tchaikovsky and stuff like that. And I'm happy. You know, so also, as far as Solzhenitsyn, as far as Dostoevsky and stuff like that, I'll wait until I have you explain that stuff to me. So, but, you know, no, it's the kind of thing
it's sick.
There was a band in the 60s. There was a band in the village in the 60s called the Fugs. They were an absolute positive bunch of commie, pinko, socialist, reactionary, hippie band. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of their stuff is kind of funny, so I've listened to it in the past. And one of their songs is called Dirty Old Man. Mm-hmm. And it's about a guy sitting in the park, you know. But instead of giving out candy to little girls, he's handing out Trotsky-hype literature.
Oh, jeez.
Then I found that amusing from them. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm starting to drift. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I mean, you were saying, but, you know, I just...
Yeah, our society has been undermined. And I believe that the actors, producers, whether it's everybody from Harvey Weinstein, you know, on down to the odd whether soap opera star or a comedy, quote unquote, comedy series star or what have. Debbie's watching one that has a fellow who's supposed to be famous. I have no idea who the hell he is. And he realized that back in the day when Marshall Dillon, you know, was out in the middle of the street and there was a guy on the awning of whether it was the hardware store or the saloon or whatever that was going to shoot at him, and he shot the guy. Uh-huh. Whoa, go Marshall Dillon.
Right.
The guy would grab it, drop his gun, grab his middle, and fall down,
right.
Of course, into a hay bale. You know, yeah. The idea is that, you know, he... But nowadays, you've got these video games and these TV shows where people are, you know, blown into a pile of red blood protoplasm, you know, with nothing left but some stendenes and some brains and stuff laying on the ground. And you've got these TV shows where it's not just a question of he and Miss Kitty, you know, giving a knowing wink here and there back and forth, you know, to basically softcore porn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So basically, Lou, things have to change. And it's not the guns that have to change. It's the culture that has to change. That's what has to change. That's what has to change.
I got taken to task because I had brought up the fact that in my generation, in my day, and back mm-hmm. in the day, we didn't know anyone divorced.
Mm-hmm.
We knew some people, Debbie and I were talking about it, we knew some people whose fathers were killed in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the point where we started knowing some people whose fathers were killed in Vietnam. We knew some, but look, in my own nuclear family, extra nuclear, mm-hmm. I had one uncle who liked to bet the horses,
mm-hmm.
you know, so my aunt kicked him out.
All right.
And they never, quote, they never divorced. They were, quote, legally separated until both of them died. I mean, they never, you know, consummated a divorce because the church wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only one. Everyone else grew up with their fathers in the home.
Right.
And everybody I knew had their father in the home. And I know people whose fathers were alcoholic. And I know people whose fathers were abusive. And I know people whose fathers or mothers were alcoholics or abusive. Or, you know, all these things. But the family was intact. Now, for Boone or Bane, you know, for that particular person... But by and large, is what I'm looking at. The big picture is what I'm looking at. When mothers and fathers and children all lived in the home,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we had a much better gig going on.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, this is all cultural. They're trying to take things that are wrong with the culture and deny them and. You know, just put it on the gun lobby, NRA, or all of us who own guns.
It's insidious.
So this has to stop. This has to stop. It really does. A few other things that I want to touch on before we wrap this all up. It looks as if the Democrats are having a little bit of a rough time trying to get some money in fundraising because a lot of people are actually... getting some money from the tax cuts that Donald Trump put through.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and the Democrats are really... And by the way, Nancy Pelosi is still stuttering, still standing there with a deer in the headlights look every time she tries to speak about something.
I lost my show notes that I wanted, not all of them, I just lost the one card. I wrote it down with her Senator or Representative Rotika from Indiana, Republican from Indiana,
mm-hmm.
who introduced legislation. And I'm not going to get this right, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
Making the benefits from tax reduction, the tax plan that the president had voted on and passed, where all these companies are giving out $1,000, $2,000, you know, checks
bonuses.
And
the
increases in pay, bonuses, and they're putting stuff in people's 401ks. They're putting stuff in their accounts that are going to pay for their kids to go to college and all this other stuff. And he called it the comprehensive relief for United States taxpayers, something on the order.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's fine. It makes these things tax exempt, and that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing. But if you add the letters up, it comes out to the Crumbs Act.
That's right. Yep.
The crumbs that Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz say, mm-hmm. oh, they're crumbs swept off the table. You know what? Those are a lot of crumbs.
Yep.
346 companies as of last week, I don't know what it is now, have given bonuses, raises, 401k contributions, college fund contributions, health plan contributions
mm-hmm.
to employees worth anything from $500 to $2,500, including, get this, U-Haul. And we're not talking, you know, AT&T, you know, who gave up $20 million to their employees. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily talking about Fiat Chrysler, who gave, you know, $10 million to their employees. We're talking U-Haul, for crying out loud.
Yep.
And Walmart. And all, you know, yeah. But that's crumbs. Crumbs.
Yes, it is, according to the Dems.
Of course it
basically
is.
Basically, what they want is they want to tax us until we can't afford decent housing or enough clothes and vacations for our children and raise them the way, you know, Americans want to raise them. And they want to be able to use the money for their groups that they favor, like illegal immigrants and the quote-unquote refugees that come in here looking for a second chance. Basically, what they are is they're new voters. That's who they want.
I don't believe for a second that Chuck and Nancy give a rat the northbound end of a southbound rat.
Oh, they don't. The only thing they care about is power. And that they're doing is they're trying to create a society here in which they throw crumbs to these people who have never had anything. And to these people, these crumbs are absolutely magnificent. So that means they have a whole new camp of voters who will vote for the Democrats. And those of us who work and, you know, live decent lives and are here legally, we're the ones that have to pay for the Democrats.
You know, you talked earlier about, you know, the Bureau, mm-hmm. you know, CIA, NSA, DIA, you know, all these various and sundry acronym, you know, or not even acronym, the alphabet agencies, you know, earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the alphabet agencies, I think, that has dropped the ball in a monumental fashion, the IRS.
Yeah.
Let me explain. People say, oh, illegales, they pay taxes too.
No, they don't.
And it's like, well, wait. Well, that's it. They do. Because what happens is they go out and they get a dead guy's Social Security number. Or they get a Social Security number that's been issued 15 times. And they put it on their W-4 form at the job. And they get taxes taken out of their pay. Right? And here's the thing. They're all working for minimum or less wage, but it all gets written up from these employers, you know, and they get – what happens is not only do they not have to pay any tax, but they get these earned income credit and child income credit and things like that, rebates, refunds, and it goes to their address.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Millions of dollars right. worth of our tax dollars go back to people who effectively paid zero net tax as far as income is concerned
That's right.
Jack, calm down.
Yeah, I know. That's my dog. You know, he decides that he has a thing or two to say here, so.
Well, that's fine. He's entitled to his opinion as long as it matches ours.
You know? It does.
You know, so, but I mean, you know, so we've got these people saying, oh, they pay taxes. No, they don't. Well, yes, they do. They pay them in their withholding, but they get all of it back and
more.
Anywhere from $300 to $3,500 worth of tax back because they have the EIC or some other plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is wrong, definitely. And my gosh. That's ridiculous.
So, you know, it's but the 5th of March, beware the 5th of March, you know, 10 days before the Eid. But
because I think Democrats have voted everything down. They have poo-pooed it. Donald Trump said, hey, listen, guess what? Not just 800,000, 1.3 million. We'll give them amnesty. Everything will be fine, hunky-dory. But I want the wall, no chain immigration, no nothing. And they said, nope. Basically, what they were doing is they were using the Dreamers, the Democrats. So,
and they still are. And I stopped calling them Dreamers, but
they're not Dreamers, but, you know, they're illegals.
I stopped calling them because all those people all those people, including a three-year-old, a week and a half ago,
they all had
in an ambulance, they had dreams. You know, the mother critically injured, the driver of the ambulance critically injured, the guy with a blood alcohol level in excess of double.
Yes.
The legal limit. And never had a driver's license, has been deported before.
Yep.
And he hit this ambulance in the middle of the night on the way to the hospital, and the three-year-old was killed.
Yep. But that's okay.
Tell me how that's benefiting our society.
It's not. You know that, and I know that, too. You know, with everything that happens here, that more and more of the American people are becoming awake now. And a lot more, I think, are going to start asking harder questions of their politicians, of the people that are in charge. They have to. And they have to demand their slice of the pie instead of these politicians taking what these people have earned and giving it away. They have to say no more. And it's got to happen in a lot of cases. And, you know,
we'll see what
happens with Auntie all this.
Maxine, you live in a five-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Not even in your own district.
No, she doesn't.
A five-bedroom house in a low-minority neighborhood, gated, with walls around it.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Kennedy, you live in a gated home, you know, with 12 bedrooms. Start bringing those people into your home.
That's never going to happen. Oh, man. Folks, I think...
Start bringing those people in. Italy is starting to catch on. Macera. Mm-hmm. Macera up in northeastern Italy. Macera, I don't remember exactly where it is. There was a young girl, 18, 19 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And she turned up missing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found her.
Mm-hmm.
In two suitcases in a ditch.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
And they found the guy because, you know, they're not smart enough to take their fingerprints or wear gloves. No, they found the guy. And they arrested him. Because they found this young girl in two suitcases in a ditch on the side of the road. Well... let's just say the local Mothers and Fathers Italian Association was less than impressed with the fact that all they did was arrest this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is one of those towns that has seen a huge influx. This guy had been denied refugee status 3 times.
So why was he still there?
He was in Italy illegally because they told him, you don't qualify, go away. He didn't go away. And he brutally dismembered this 18, 19, whatever. It was in her late teens. She wasn't 20 yet.
Uh-huh.
Well, as I said, the local chapter of the Mothers and Fathers Italian Association doesn't like this. To the point where people are riding around in daylight shooting immigrants.
I don't care. I really don't. Seriously. Let them do it because they're killing their own people. You know? You have Italians who are dying at the hands of these morons.
Yep.
They're doing what they have to do to protect their wives, daughters, families, their neighbors.
Isn't that what the mafia does?
Empathy from me or sympathy? I'm not going to be sympathetic.
No. I'm just bringing it up. Just bringing it up as a point of fact because
that's good.
They let that friend, whatever the hell his name was, that killed Kate Steinle, let him off.
Yeah, they did.
Let him off. Well, because culturally he's not aware of what he did wrong.
That's baloney. That is so baloney. Murder is illegal in Mexico too, or wherever the hell he's from.
I'm not gonna be terribly surprised.
Let's hope he turns up in a ditch somewhere. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You know, people are starting to have had enough, and you know, these people call these immigrants. They call them dreamers. I'm sorry, Kate had dreams.
That's true. Every single one of those kids that were killed by these people, they had dreams.
That woman who was holding on to her 3-year-old kid.
Yep.
You know, when an illegal, you know, hit the ambulance.
Right. I know.
Not like you could turn around and say, hey, you know what, man, I didn't see it. What? You know, sirens, lights, they say, you didn't see it? You can't say that. You know, plowed into it, turned it up on its side, killed the 3-year-old kid. People are not happy. And you know, and I'll tell you something else. If I was a DACA eligible person, by the way, you know, only about 20% of the people eligible for DACA ever filed the forms they needed to get the DACA protection. Mm-hmm. You know, so General Kelly said, well, maybe if they'd get off their ass, you know, there'd be more compassion, and everybody picked on him about it. You know, if I were the DACA people, I'd be on the phone to the Chuck and Nancy show right away.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, whoa, ese, man, you can't be doing this to us, man. You know, you can't be doing this. You got to get off the stick, man. You know, because it's going to come. They had a raid yesterday, the day before yesterday, in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Yep. And 122.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In all these businesses. And this part that nobody talks about. That's the part nobody talks about. Everybody's got to be aware that these people are hiring. Somebody's hiring them. And I don't mean just because you pull up to Home Depot and they want to do your tile work for you.
Wait a minute. It's 122 businesses, but 212 illegals. So it's even better than we thought.
Okay. All right. My bad. Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's even better. Mm-hmm. It's even better. And 70-odd other businesses have received notices saying, we're on our way. You might want to rethink your payroll.
That's right.
Oh, it's terrible. Why are they going after these businesses? These people are going to work, and they're picking them up at these businesses. Oh, my God, it's terrible. We got to get an injunction for what? You're not going to cooperate with them if they make it to jail. Mm-hmm. So they're going to send people out and say, you know what? We're not going to wait for you to get to jail. We're going to take you now. And when we take you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get deported. Even if you were a nice guy, you're going to get deported. And I'm okay with that. Oh, you're tearing apart families. No, we're not tearing apart families. We'll go get the family and send them back too.
Yep, they can go back.
Yeah. And why, Amory, explain something to me, please. Explain something to me. Why, when we catch these guys, like the kid who hit the ambulance, why when we catch these guys like the one who killed Kate Steinle or that kid Josh, what was his last name, Reynolds, I think, brutally murdered this kid, set him on fire. Why when we get these people that killed that girl in the woods in Long Island, or those two girls in the woods in Long Island, why are we going through the whole process of trial, jury verdicts, you know, and then put them in prison, 3 hots in a cot, you know, better accommodations than
they're
it ever where they
they're
came.
Illegals. I don't think that they have. I'm not kidding. I don't know where it says in the Constitution that illegals have rights in this country, because I don't think they do. They're not supposed to be in this country anyway. But you have a judicial system which is all screwed up. You have our culture, which
so we take the judicial system. We take the judicial system, and instead of putting them in prison, like Bill O'Reilly said, Kate's Law, when he started pushing for it, put them in prison for a mandatory 5 years, you know, and deport them now.
Just get them out. Or better yet,
deport them now.
Better yet, if they've been convicted, take them out and shoot them. They shouldn't have the right to appeal.
If they've been convicted of capital murder, you know, and I've said this before, you've heard me say it. If you people are squeamish, whether it's the noose, whether it's the needle, whether it's the rope, whether it's the chair, whether it's the chamber, no matter what way your state or your county, your local jurisdiction likes to do these things, if you're a bit squeamish about it, pay my cab fare. I'll come take care of it for you and pay my cab fare home. And if I'm going to be there all day because you got too many of them, buy me lunch.
Right.
I got no problem with it at all. People that are listening who understand such things, and I'm not going to expound on it. No, I have a black plaque. It doesn't bother me, not one bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I got nothing to worry about in the afterlife because, you know, heaven doesn't want me and hell's afraid I'll take over.
And with that, Lou, I think we better start wrapping this up.
Gotta start wrapping it up.
We gotta wrap this up.
All right.
Let's got start. Things to do, places to go, to see, and, you know, we could talk
for another four or five hours,
but, you know.
Places to go and people to annoy, you know. So,
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I just want to punch in, by the way, about my article about Mr. Julio Baldi, who passed not that long ago, a giant among men. Mm-hmm. And if we had more men like him, we wouldn't be in this soup. Trust me.
I agree. People, if you have a chance, please read that article. It's amazing.
But I didn't write three quarters of it. A man named Barry Carter from the Newark Star-Ledger did, and it's still worth reading.
It is worth reading.
Anyway, so this girl goes because her grandfather passed.
Mm-hmm.
He was 100 years old. So she goes, and she's there with her grandmother, and she says, "Oh, my goodness, Grandma, what happened?" She said, "Well, he had a heart attack while we were making love." And the girl is like, "Oh, my God, he's 100 and you're 95. You know, she says, "Oh, yeah, we always made love on Sunday mornings. We decided that was the best time to do it."
Okay.
And, you know, so this girl is like, "Oh, my God, you know." And grandmother says, when the church bells would chime, we knew that that's, you know. And, you know, we're old, so it was slow, steady, you know, but we loved each other very much. We'd been together 75 years, you know, mm-hmm. you know, why, you know, and the girl is still like, "Oh, my God." So it was too much for his heart. She says, "No." She said, "Everything was going along just fine till that ice cream truck came down the street."
Excellent. Okay, that was good.
You like that one.
That was good.
You like that.
That was. No, okay. Oh, sorry, I'm starting to get a visual on this. I don't want to get a visual on it.
No. It's all right. No. I don't want to pull a Jeff Foxworthy here. So.
Okay, folks, listen. Again, our sympathies.
Until next time.
Yes, well, our sympathies to condolences to the parents of family and friends of those who were lost in that massacre in Florida. Also,
candles, incense, prayers, you name it. Yeah.
Also, we did lose a number of police officers also this week and last week. Horrific killings by horrific people. Also, may they rest in peace.
The highest ranking police officer in recent memory, a commander on the Chicago. Oh, you know, a town with all those gun laws was gunned down doing his job.
I know. It's horrendous. We're going to have to talk about that next time. So, folks,
I think we will.
Yes. So, folks, everybody, you take care of yourself. Stay safe. And we will be with you next week. All right? This is Anne Marie signing off.
that bless our families, bless our loved ones who have lost, whether a police officer, whether a child, whether there is no pain. Trust me, there is no pain like losing a child. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, don't want another, or the coffee mug. Thank you very much. May God be with us, you know, in these trying times. May God guide the hands of the people in charge of seeing to it that it doesn't happen ever again. And may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.